Let me get this out of your way.
Sharon Vujukas to come forward and tell us about the United Methodist Women's Mission Study
And then Betty Merchant will come as well. We'll have a special dinner prior to the Ash Wednesday service. So I'd like to invite those ladies to come forward and tell us a little bit about that.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I would like to invite everyone. This is an open invitation to everyone here in the church to come and join us at our annual mission study coming up this Saturday. There is a little flyer in your bulletin today. I'd like y'all to take a look at that. This is open to everyone. It's going to be a little bit different this year because our study has more to do with personal growth. And that's why we nicknamed it the Happiness Retreat. Because we're going to be thinking about happiness, thinking about what it takes to make you happy. And we're going to be looking at this from what society tells us we need to be happy. And then we're going to look into the Bible and into the teachings of John Wesley. And we're going to see what they have to say about being happy. And I guess we come in the morning, we provide you with breakfast at 8:30, and we have lunch. Everything's provided for free. So we do invite you to come, and we think you'll have a splendid time. And hopefully, you'll have some personal growth there, too. Thank you.
Well, the United Methodist women are very busy in the process of giving away everything. So I have an invitation today for you from the United Methodist women. We will be sponsoring a hunger awareness meal, also known as a refugee meal. This will be on Wednesday prior to our worship service here in the sanctuary. The purpose of the meal is to make us aware of what our friends and neighbors who are food insecure go through. You will have the opportunity to be like a refugee. We ask you to bring your own bowl and your own cup. You will get to stand in line and wait for your food. The meal is based on the product that we assembled last fall when we did the Stop Hunger Now. And it's really no coincidence at all that this refugee meal coincides with the beginning of our Lenten season. We have a speaker, Ruth Magaria, who is the Executive Director of Cross Ministries. She will be our speaker, speaking at 6 p.m. And we all, many of us, know that Cross has been providing food and necessities for those less fortunate in our community for over 30 years. Now, I mentioned earlier that this is free, but you're going to be given the opportunity to make a donation. A donation, hopefully, that will be comparable to what you paid the last time you ate in a restaurant. Because all of the proceeds that we collect will be given to agencies in our community who are serving the hungry. This will be next Wednesday from 5:30 to 6:30. We'll have plenty of time to get here to the sanctuary for our worship service. This meal will be in the fellowship hall. Now, it's free, but we need you to have a ticket because we need a head count of how many we are expecting. So today after the service, you can see Peggy Morfises, you can see Nancy Geddes, you can see me, and Shirley Turner was also to have tickets, but I understand Shirley's not here today. So if you see her in your neighborhood between now and Wednesday, that would be great. You can get a ticket from her. Thank you.
Be sure and check your bulletins out this week. There's a lot going on in the life of our church. The United Methodist women are very active in our community, and I commend them for that as well. One announcement that's not on your calendar there is Tai Chi. How many of you have participated in Tai Chi in the past? It was very well received here. We get to do it again. And if you've already been, you're allowed to come back and do it again as well. So we're allowed to repeat customers for that. And that's going to be on Tuesdays and Thursdays at what's the time on Tai Chi?
10.
10 a.m. on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So be sure to come out and participate and take part in that. It's great for your balance, and it's just a great program to be a part of. Let's now prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning. Good morning. Still got one in the wheelchair. How much longer do you think? 6 months? 3 weeks? Okay. We can live with that. Well, good morning. You all ever been on a mountain? What's the highest mountain you've ever been on? Mount Trashmore up on 45th Street? That's the biggest mountain in Florida. No, that doesn't count. Mount Everest at Disney doesn't count. The highest mountain I think I was on is about 11,000 feet. And I couldn't breathe very well, I got to be honest with you. I was huffing and puffing. Today, you know what today is? We mentioned it in our prayer. What? You know? Transfiguration. You know what that means? What does transfiguration mean?
Change.
Anyone know? You know, Jesus went up on a mountain and he took some of his buddies up there with him. And while they were there, something strange happened to Jesus. You know what happened to him? He transfigured. He changed before their eyes. When things change, do they stay changed or go back to the way they were? I'm tricking them now. These are trick questions. Did Jesus stay the way he was when he changed in front of them? Or did he change back to what we see, what they saw previously? When things change, I'm losing them. I'm losing me. Where are we going with this? What's the best day of your life? What is the best thing that ever happened to you? Give me a couple examples. Adrian, give me something. What's the best thing that ever happened to you? So when he went on a trip to Alabama to see his cousins, now wouldn't it be neat if you could stay in that feeling all the time? Kat, what was your best? We got to speak up. Wow. When they were confirmed, her and Destiny together. Do you all remember that?
Yes.
Seems so long ago, huh? Now you're working on brownie points if you come up with an answer like that. I got to say that. Well, now that's nice. When she met her two, are these your best friends? Kat and Jada are Destiny's best friends. Well, that's pretty cool then. So what I'm asking you is, if we have something that changes in our life, a lot of times it just goes in a few days or whatever, sometimes it just goes back to the way it was, right? Now your friendship and your confirmation, now those are two stellar answers. I've got to tell you, you really pulled one out of the hat for those answers. Because those are things that I hope are you still have with you, right? Now Adrian, when he went on a trip, now he was happy like that. But once you came home, you kind of didn't have that same joy of going and visiting your family, did you? So that's something that came and went and we were very happy for. Now your answers were two very good answers, I got to tell you. I wasn't expecting them to play into this morning because I was wanting them to be more sad. But that's awesome that you have things that happen to you that sort of continue on. That's awesome. So where am I going with this? Transfiguration Sunday when Jesus went up and he came down with his friends and he had taken a walk up on the mountain with him. Who changed? His disciples, his friends, right? They were changed by seeing Jesus change. His facial features changed. He had about him the glow of God in him. And that changed their lives forever. Amen? So what we're celebrating today is Jesus changing our lives and for that to continue on. Isn't that a good thing? It wouldn't be worth much if we just changed for a day because we have Jesus and the Holy Spirit with us and then in a few days it just goes away and we just feel blah. So you've got to keep that feeling of going and visit your family and keeping that feeling all the time. And keep your feelings of friendship and your confirmation. That was very special for me as well. So those were special, special days, right? Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for change in our lives. Thank you for allowing us to see not only you in a new way, but the things that go on around us. Father, I pray a blessing upon these young minds today, and that the Holy Spirit would be with them in all that they do. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. All right, going to Sunday school. Off you go. Super Bowl and Devin's dad's birthday. Happy birthday, David. A lot of David birthdays in February. We go before the Lord in prayer and we bring our requests and our praises. Do we have praises this morning? We got up, we got out of bed, we came to church. We're among family and friends. It's a good day to be alive, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We are having some people this morning that we need to lift up. Ken Friend, if you remember, was put out this week. He had a pacemaker put in on Friday. And I was out of town, so I hope that he's done well. I haven't had a chance to check in on Ken, but our prayers are that he's doing well and is back home by now. Fabian Amalfeya, who is having some health concerns with diabetes and things, so we need to keep Fabian in our prayers today as well. Demi Gould, who is in need of a kidney transplant. Baby Brody Hall and his family, who was born 2 months premature and is in Miami Children's Hospital with a hole in his lung that needs God's healing upon that. One of the praises we're celebrating this week, and I forgot to mention it last week, but I think Larry had gone around and said hi to everyone. Larry Koosman has been back among his family here at church, and Larry is sitting back there in the corner. But we are glad, Larry, that you are back and with us today. Larry has spent 4 months in the hospital, so that is quite a blessing, Larry, that you're back. And we just praise God that you're with us and you're walking. He got hit by a garbage truck, so that was not good. But Larry, we're celebrating with you that you're back and with us today. So bless you. I know there's many things today on all of our hearts that have gone unsaid, that God knows us. He knows the deepest, even darkest thoughts that we carry within us. But let's take our joys and concerns, our praises, and hallelujahs to the cross this morning. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Most gracious God, thank you for changing us. We remember this Transfiguration Sunday, a big word that means being changed forever. Father, thank you for coming and being a part of our lives. Father, today we are recognizing the fact that we are lost without you. Father, we are broken and we are scattered. Father, today we celebrate your Son, Jesus. Father, we recognize that our struggles are many in this life. As those were mentioned by name here this morning, suffering from health issues, infirmities, failing bodies, disease. Father, we know that you're in the midst of each one of these situations. Father, our faith makes us strong. I pray today that our faith would be everlasting. That as we grow each day, that as we seek you out in ways not discovered yesterday, Father, I pray that we feel the Holy Spirit just coming around us, being about us. Father, I pray today for the life of our church. I pray that when I become discouraged in ministry, you would give me signs of hope and glimmers of things going well, honoring you and your kingdom. Father, today for myself, I pray for strength. And I ask you to keep me strong in faith and being the leader that you've called me to be. Father, as a church, we can change the world. So I pray today your guidance for Lakeside, for our discernment, for where you would have us lead, for what you would have us do. Father, I give you thanks and praise for the people filling these seats today. They have committed themselves, at least for this time, to recognize their Savior as their strength. And Father, as we leave this place, I pray that that sense of security, that sense of believing in the face of anything, would be what keeps us going. So Father, today I pray for the ministries of this church, the people that have come here today, and we would continue to grow your ministry and to make disciples of Jesus Christ. Father, we love you. We pray that you would guide us to be a better and more sustaining force in Lake Worth. Outside of our doors is a troubled and fallen world. And I pray that you would be, let us be a part of changing, at least in our own small way, to make this a better place. So Father, be with us now. We ask your guidance in all we do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We come to this time in our worship where we can offer back to God a bit of what God has given us. We do this in thanksgiving for mountaintop experiences and for the strength they give us to answer our call. In gladness, we offer our gifts and our very selves for the work of this transfiguring God. Would the ushers please come forward?
Thank you.
come from. They call that a tongue tapper. I think we need a toe tapper this morning, don't we? We're going to look at the world from a new, eyes this morning. Our scripture today is coming from 2 Corinthians 3, verses 12 through chapter 4, verse 2. If you're able, please stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. And listen to these words. So, since we have such a hope, we act with great confidence. We aren't like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face so that the Israelites couldn't watch the end of what was fading away. But their minds were closed. Right up to the present day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. The veil is not removed because it is taken away by Christ. Even today, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But whenever someone turns back to the Lord, the veil is removed. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Lord's Spirit is, there is freedom. All of us are looking with unveiled faces at the glory of the Lord as if we were looking in a mirror. We are being transformed into that same image from one degree of glory to the next degree of glory. This comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. This is why we don't get discouraged, given that we receive this ministry in the same way that we receive God's mercy. Instead, we reject secrecy and shameful actions. We don't use deception, and we don't tamper with God's Word. Instead, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God by the public announcement of the truth. May God have a blessing to the reading of His Word. Let's pray. Father God, we pray this morning that our eyes have had the veil removed. Father, we pray that we will understand these words and live them out in our daily lives. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, as I was putting this message together this week, and I'm going to be a little honest with you here this morning, I've been suffering from a little bit of discouragement. I keep asking myself, and I told the council this week, I said, you know, I've been losing sleep here lately. I'm wondering, what more can we do for the ministry here at Lakeside? We're a great congregation. United Methodist women are very active. United Methodist men, we try. Are we trying hard enough? I don't think so. We put together programming here, Bible studies and special services, and no one comes. I lay at night thinking, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? Now, Moses in this scripture today, talking of Moses, Moses put a veil over his face because he didn't want the people to see what was happening. God was fading. Not because of God, but because of the Israelites. So as I've laid awake at night here in the last few weeks, I'm thinking, what can we do to not just bring people into church on Sunday morning? How can we motivate them to want to take that next step? Many of you are taking that next step. I applaud you for that. I commend you for that. But is this what we're being called to as a church? As a church in this community? Now, Paul in the scripture, as he's writing it, he could have been very discouraged. So this scripture this week has encouraged me because old Paul, now I tell you what, My luck has never been as bad as Paul's. Paul's ministry struggled at every turn. And we see every opportunity for Paul to lose heart. And Paul chose to concentrate on those that have been changed rather than those that are unchanged. Think about that for a minute. Paul's ministry, he brought the gospel, the word of change, to change people's lives. But if they rejected that, concentrate on the ones that were changed. A bit ago, Nancy and I were gone for a couple of days up to Vero for a clergy retreat. A couple of two-day cheer up your local pastor meeting, I call it. And as I sat around that room, we had a speaker from Mississippi, a retired pastor from the Mississippi Conference. And he said the average attendance in Methodism in the United States of America today is 47. Are we doing pretty good? So my ears perked up. I'm like, well, because just the week before, we had 154 people in church. So you know me and my pride for self. I lean back and say, yeah, we're doing pretty good. The week before, I'm crying in my beer about how awful we're doing. Emotional roller coaster, you see. So I'm thinking we're not doing as bad as I thought we were. And it's never that bad. But I always think that we do more. Can we do more? Can each one of us do more? Do you feel like you're maxed out in where God has called you in your life? You're doing all you can do. You're overspent. You're overtaxed. Have you been shipwrecked lately for God? Follow Paul's journey. You know, folks, the Holy Spirit gives us the grace to carry on. As I spoke with the kids up here today, I said, when things change, and things are great, and then they go back to normal, back to home. When things change and continue to grow and prosper and change people's lives, we've got to keep that trend going. That's the same mercy that sustained Paul in his ministry. Has God shown mercy to Lakeside? I'm occasionally reminded that the chains were on the doors here not too long ago. A year or so ago, I was given a letter from the district superintendent at the time that said, the board has decided to close United Methodist Church. The Lakeside United Methodist Church. The letter was sent. I saw it. I had it. Folks, today we're far from chaining the door. Amen? Yay? Because we have a ministry here. And wherever we're gathered is ministry for the Lord. That's what Paul is telling us here. Paul remained encouraged in his ministry. Do not lose heart. Paul didn't lose heart because he placed his faith in God. Now, I long ago given myself over to God and said, God, do with me what you want. I pray some of you have made that same commitment. But it's not always easy. There's always discouragement. There's a baseball player that had the equivalency of 3,400 trips to the plate striking out. Now, would you say he's a successful baseball player? That's 7 seasons worth of at-bats. 3,400 strikeouts. You know who it was? Mickey Mantle.
Wow.
Would you call Mickey Mantle a failure at baseball? No. But he had 7 years of strikeouts. Folks, we can still strike out. We can still... shouldn't say this, we can still have a worship service where only a handful of people show up. Because we're going to keep swinging. We're going to keep trying. We're going to get back up to the plate. So my encouragement to you all are that as you hear these opportunities, we have a men's retreat coming up, the Lenten Bible study coming up, and I'm going to do my club. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. Those are opportunities for us to grow in our faith, to gather as a community of faith. We have to look beyond our failures and persevere. And we often talk of, where's the veil? This whole veil business in this scripture. For those that study the scripture, those that learn the scripture, it was revealed to them. Them, those that have accepted Jesus Christ into their life, the gospel is revealed to them. The veil was removed. The only way the veil is going to be removed from us. Who reads the Bible and is very confused by it? I got to tell you, as your pastor, I stand here with a veiled face sometimes. I read the scriptures, I read the Bible, and I'm like, what did he say? Let me look this up a little more. I need to go into this a little deeper. But when we believe, when our faith sustains us, God reveals himself to us. Do you believe that? Is your walk today close with the Lord? Do you feel him sitting there next to you? If not, the veil may be over our faces. We've got to pursue our knowledge, our faith, our belief, our unbelief. I have people tell me all the time, I just can't believe that. Did you study it? Did you try to find out where it's coming from? And the veil becomes, it's taken away. It goes away. So we're using this scripture today, the writing of Paul speaking to the Corinthian church. One source of Paul's discouragement was the church itself, the Corinthian church. There was false believers. There was biting criticism. There were challenges to Paul. You never hear of those things in the church. Biting criticism. Challenging the pastor. Challenging everything that goes on. That doesn't happen in churches today, does it? Never happens here. But instead, Paul did not lose heart. He renounces the deceitfulness, the falseness of people. He denounces it. The church struggled, but the church grew. We've got to speak up. So folks, today, after our 2-day pastor picker-upper, I feel better today. I feel hopeful once again. I'm a hopeful person, though. I know we can do more, and I know we will. There's a story of a young minister. He became quite discouraged. He commented to an older member of the church, that they seemed to shed the gospel in the way that a duck sheds water. Sensing his discouragement, the old timer said, "You need to remember that it's not the water's fault." You get that? They shed the gospel like water off a duck's back, but it's not the water's fault. That's what I'm going to leave you with today. Are we the water? Are we the duck's back? Are we shedding the gospel? Is our world stuck in the deceitfulness of today? Look at our politics today. Any deceitfulness there? Any falsehoods being spoken? The world has run amok, as they say. That we as the church can be that light. So that's what I'm encouraging you all today. And by encouraging you all, I'm encouraging myself. This message today was probably more for me than you. I say that a lot of times, hoping that they got something out of it. And I'm going to try to be like Paul. I've not been shipwrecked yet. Not looking forward to that. But I know as a church, we can respond to the gospel. It's 40 days of Lent coming up. As we'll be preparing ourselves for Easter, we'll begin on Ash Wednesday. I hope you can come here Ash Wednesday. And we can start this 40-day period of really trying to discover what God has in store for us. Not only as a church, but as an individual. Because God is after that relationship with you first. I hope you understand that. Jesus wants a relationship with you. And how Jesus draws closer to us is through the sacrament of Holy Communion. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the example of Christ in our lives. The example of Paul persevering through everything that was thrown at him. Father, we pray today that you would continue to guide us as a church. That you would lead us. That you would give us a sense of purpose. That you would inspire and charge the hearts of this congregation. I want to do more, to be more for you. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hear this invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Join me, please. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be in the meeting church.
We have not done your will.
We have broken. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
And lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, God of all times and all places, God of the infinite and infinitesimal. In the blazing splendor of your glory, you call forth light from darkness, day from night, land from oceans, and life in all its dazzling array from lifeless matter. Among the living you made and called humankind, imprinting upon us your image, to be bearers of your glory in the world. Though we failed to shine and hid your image within us, you continue to call us into fellowship with you and to fulfill your mission for us through prophets, scripture, priests, and the people you redeemed for yourself. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. In him we see the fullness of your glory, revealed in human form. Born into poverty, he fulfilled his mother's song that you would fill the hungry with good things and send the rich empty away. Declaring the nearness of your kingdom, he forgave sinners, cast out demons, raised the dead, restored the blind and lame, visited the sick, the prisoners, and the needy, and gathered disciples to continue to declare the good news in word and deed, transfiguring the world in the power of your Holy Spirit. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, he gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which Jesus Christ gave himself up for us, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, take and eat, for this is my body broken for you. And likewise, after the meal, he took the cup, he raised it to the heavens and said, Father, bless this, for this is my blood poured out for the new covenant. Do this in remembrance of me each time you drink it. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ is God. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them to be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, we pray together. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Those assisting with communion, please come forward. Died on a cross, just for me, just for you. Father, we are grateful to have him as our example. Father, bless us now We give you thanksgiving and praise for your Son. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Please stand for our closing hymn, Shine, Jesus, Shine. Amen.
Thank you. God, you love us.